Hey everyone, this is Alex Jabali again with a final 2021 Japodcast. It's been a little while. The last one I had was about preparation for CO 2021, which fortunately happened safely. I'll go into great detail about putting it together, how it came about, any problems that we had during the event, because you know it helps to be self-aware to improve on your own events and also take constructive feedback from all your friends. But today I have a very special guest. Been trying to get him on for, we're always so busy running our own stuff that we never get together and actually sit down to talk about the crap we're doing, because there's always so much to do. But today I have a very special guest. I consider him one of my best friends. We've been to South Korea together. Went for one of his weddings, and it was a great time out there. But Tong Lee, I trust him more than pretty much anyone else in the scene, next to Rick from Combo Breaker, pretty much. But Tong has been there for me for many years until I really started to delegate. But welcome to the Japodcast, Tong Lee. How are you?
I'm good. I told myself I would never go on anything called a Japodcast, but here I am.
So he's here. He lives. So Tong Lee, if you don't know who he is, if you listen to this podcast, you should know who he is if you're a CEO attendee. But let's kind of talk about your beginnings in the FGC. Right, you're very well known for Tampa Never Sleeps and Marvel 3 community. What was the first game you remember playing? What was the first tournament you remember entering? And then how did we meet?
Man, so the first game as far as fighting games I ever played was probably like Street Fighter 2 on the Super Nintendo. You know, grew up, you know, playing that when it first came out. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And, you know, I ended up playing other fighting games along the way. But I think the first tournament I ever actually went to was one I actually hosted on my own. Back in 2008, I opened a video game store and we wanted to bring more people in. And I really liked playing Tekken at the time. So I was like, let's have a Tekken tournament. And we hosted Tekken and we hosted Smash. And then Street Fighter 4 came out in 2009. And, you know, and the rest is history, basically. But I think... I remember the first time we met was just before CEO 2011 that we met officially. I went to CEO 2010, but
I don't even remember you there.
Yeah. We didn't know each other really. You were on, you know, obviously you ran the whole event, but you were mostly on the FGC side, and I was playing Smash at the time. So, but yeah, just before CEO 2011. I think we all went out to that one restaurant. It was a speakeasy. I think it was called Ciro's or something.
Ciro's Supper Club. Yeah, amazing place. Yeah.
Yeah. Stan took us there. And I was, you know, we were all, you know, eating together. And I was just thinking to myself, man, this guy's a jackass. I can't believe this guy's so full of himself. So, I mean, that was before you even done anything. 10 years later, you've accomplished a lot. So you guys can imagine how much of a jackass he is now.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I always backed up what I say. You know, there's friends that know us from the early days, like Stan, you know, in the last couple of years, Luke. Gittins, if you remember Luke Gittins from Tampa.
Of course.
He was at the kickball thing we did.
Yeah.
And those guys, like every time they see me, they're just looking at me like, man, I'm just so proud of you, dude, for how much you've grown. Like, we knew this was gonna happen, but man, you were such a douche back then. And like, now you're nice to everybody. What happened? I'm like, well, social media, I don't want to get canceled every day.
Well, also because you made it, you know, back, you know, you say you can back it up and you definitely can now, but 10 years ago, you were faking it till you make it.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, like Tong here, you know, he helped run pretty much majority of CEO on the staffing side and preparation and stream side, getting all everything together. But like a lot of the most successful TOs today started by running a tournament, just a small little tournament at the local level, and then just kind of built from it. Now, back in the day, you were representing Tampa with your events at Play and Trade. I was doing everything here in Orlando. And then just over time, we always talked, we hung out, but we never really talked and hung out or learned to trust each other until probably like 2015, 16, maybe, or even later.
Sometime around then. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were hanging out a lot. You know, we have a lot of mutual friends, obviously, as well. So,
and you're one of the only guys I trust with food choices more than myself. So every time we go anywhere, especially in Korea, man, you killed it. It was incredible to go to Korea together. Gosh, feels like a decade ago, but that was only 3 years ago. Not even.
Yeah, I'm sorry we didn't go to any izakayas.
I know, yeah. The whole time we're in Korea, like, I want Japanese food. He's like, you're in Korea. I'm like, I don't care. I want sushi right now. So, growing together, right? You were in Tampa. I was here. It was never really between us a competition or anything. We always helped each other. We always did events together. And we just kind of learned from each other. And, you know, the one good thing I can say about Tong is he's always been a good boss and a manager. What do you do now? You run a successful boba shop.
Yeah, I own a boba shop. And then, of course, you know, other than that.
Yeah. And you, I'll tell you, through the pandemic, out of all the friends I have, Tong put in the most work that I directly know with your stream and the consistency of YouTubing and the stuff that you've been telling me for years to do on the CEO side. But I also work DreamHack. So DreamHack digs into a full-time schedule for me. But with you, you've been just growing. And the beauty of everything that we've done in Florida is how many of the people that started here are working other events, Evos, the Combo Breakers, you know, traveling. Now you're getting hired not just as to kind of manage what you did for CEO, but streaming other events. And he's put in the work. The thing I always respect about Tong is he's like me. You go and buy what you need to get it done, no matter what. So the cameras you've put money into, he even bought me a nice camera that I haven't been YouTubing enough with. Thanks, buddy. Best gift I got this year for my birthday. But kind of talk about like how things have changed from when we first did our events together, or, you know, going to Play and Trade to now, obviously with COVID, everything's different. It's really stressful to run, locals and such, but kind of talk about the yesteryear. What was it like running back then? Did you find it was going to lead to something? Did you think it was annoying to do, worth it? Like, how do you feel about the early days?
I think the first Tampa Never Sleeps event, like an official TNS event, was in 2011. And I did that a lot because I saw what you were doing with CEO. Because obviously I was running a little locals for a game here and there, but I saw what you were doing with CEO and I was like, man, that's really dope. You know, I want to do something like that. So I knew it would take time. Obviously, you know, CEO is the second biggest fighting game tournament in the world. So, you know, I'm not going to catch up to that.
The first largest in the last 2.5 years. it's a fresh start, guys. It's a whole new horizon out there.
Yeah.
I'm resetting my cockiness. We're back to the beginning. Now I'm the one to beat. No, go ahead. Oh, here we go.
but I just saw what you were doing and I just wanted to kind of do like what you were doing, you know what I mean? It was definitely, you know, you were like, you know, a role model in that way. You were a good example of what events should be doing. And I'm like, man, I want to do stuff like that. And I just, you know, as you got bigger, I just got bigger, but on a much smaller scale. And I was just, you know, I was like, oh, he's doing fun stuff. I got to add more fun stuff to my event, you know? And then of course you would come to my events and support us as well. And, you know, I just love going to events, and CEO was my favorite event even before I started working at it. So it was just one of those things where it kind of just made a lot of sense. But yeah, I always enjoyed running tournaments. The good thing for me is, you know, obviously you love doing it, but it's also your job. For me, it's my job, but, you know, I don't have to do it. I do it because I love doing it. And I've always felt that way. Everything from the pre-planning, the organizing, all the stress and headaches, God knows there's plenty of that that come with it. You know, honestly, it makes me feel alive a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I kind of live event to event, like quarter mile at a time, and it was stressful for us trying to put something on the last 2 years. And, you know, there's been times where Tong and I would not argue, but I remember one time you yelled at me like, stop being, because I was stressed out before, I think it was Dreamland, right? I was freaking out over Dreamland, having to cancel like the day it was happening. And that would have, honest to God, bankrupted all of CEO. And we made it through that, gave a lot of refunds. And then, you know, CEO is a financially successful event. The last 2 years were very rough. And Dreamland, that 2019 was very successful working with AEW. We had a couple of local events leading up to CEO and all that, and CEO Taku. And then 2020, CEO profited $100, thank God, after everything I had to go through with all the refunds when we did the donation drive that the community helped out. And, you know, I was the first one to kind of go through that situation as it was happening, as COVID was taking over. Now, like 2 years later, we're back to square one almost, where people are worried about events. So, you know, that we've been friends over the years. We've hung out. We never really play each other in any fighting games because we're two different games for the most part.
Yeah, we definitely play a lot. I mean, you play mostly Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I play mostly Marvel. And we dabble in some games. We played some new games together every now and then. I remember botting you in Guilty Gear Strive when it first came out.
Whatever. Anyway, so next topic. But Tong's naturally good at Marvel. You know, I'm always worried about Tong running my event and then somehow top aiding Marvel. And then the CO 2018, I always tell people this. If I didn't injure my ankle and end up in a wheelchair that weekend, I would have never learned to delegate and trust other people. And Tong, really, you didn't take over until what, 2019 or more so this past 2 years, right?
Yeah, 2019 was the first year where you let me kind of be in charge of everything. So yeah. that was cool.
And it's the greatest decision I've ever made. Not because he's sitting next to me. We talk about this very candidly all the time, but like this year, I'll let you explain. What do you think? How would you explain to people what I do for CEO? And then what do you do for CEO? If somebody were to ask us.
Oh, damn. This is
be totally blunt.
Be totally. Okay. I mean, what I do for CEO is I do all the event planning as far as like making the schedules, you know, hiring the people, picking the volunteers, choosing the commentators, you know, doing the floor plan, you know, creating, you know, event structure in general, you know, where things go and stuff like that, you know, coordinating with production, whatever. I mean, you know, basically everything there is to event planning, I do. What you do is the bigger business stuff, I feel like. You know, you deal with, you know, the actual hotel and talking to those people. You deal with all the sponsors who make the event possible, you know, of course, along with all the attendees.
Ticket sales, refunds, exactly. All that, yeah.
You know, you deal with a lot of the, you know, financials and stuff like that. So, you know, and like the biggest thing is, you know, handling all the sponsorships and coordinating business to business transactions, hiring people for other jobs that I'm not, you know, particularly, you know, I guess experienced with, like lighting or stuff like that.
Yep.
So yeah, there's a lot of things that, you know, people don't think about when, you know, when they think about running a tournament, because, you know, you think of it like in the local or even a regional sense, and there's a lot of things that you don't have to deal with. But, you know, when you're talking about a super major like CEO, there are so many like business things that, you know, can take up a lot of time and require the right touch, I guess. And, you know, you deal with that very well. You talk to other businesses and other sponsors and, you know, and important people, you know, on an exceptional level. And then, of course, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you're Jim Bailey, you know, people love you. So yeah, that's what brings people to the event.
Not everyone, but, you know, that's something I've learned to, who cares about the negative. But yeah, he pretty much nailed it. And a lot of stuff that I used to do, everything he does, I started doing a lot and then slowly delegated. But it wasn't until him, I was just like, you got this, right? You know, I usually select Artist Alley. He does the selection, then I go through, make sure, because I'm pretty familiar with all the artists directly from past events. Commentary, I'll be like, I don't want that guy or that. A lot of that. So end of the day, now people, instead of DMing me, they'll DM Tong like, hey, how do I get Jabali to hire me or something? So that saves me a couple hours a day at this point. But then, yeah, the sponsors. I mean, it's the hardest part is the financials of making sure the event runs so that I can pay Tong, I can pay the staff. Security, I have to deal with signing off on security, deciding that with the layouts. Also, you know, just the outside stuff, right? And doing the fun stuff. And then media, I handle still with Tish, they killed it, man. How awesome were the pictures to come out of this year? We had Robert Paul, award-winning. Vexney, who's one of my favorites, wasn't able to make it. She's doing a Dragon Ball event in Europe. But we had Lee, who started out at CEO events, and now she does esports as much as she can. She's incredible. And then we also had Todd, you know, a close friend of hers, who came out. And then Tish, who's gone from ESPN to Dot Esports. Now he's with Panda. And he handled all the social media, which I used to do. I used to line up all those tweets, and now I have to pass that on. So the event is basically me putting out fires, literally and figuratively. After this year, we had a fire alarm pulled or whatever. But so leading up to the event, right, you know, you deal with more people than I do now directly in terms of working the event, making sure the staff. We had a lot of staff. And I got to say, this year, our registration team killed it because we ended up deciding to split up registrations to two areas that ended up working out.
That was actually your idea, though.
Well, in a way, yeah.
I just implement the stuff, yep. Man. You know, you say you want something, I make it happen. But that was actually, you know, because you're the idea guy, you know what I mean? I'm a logistics and execution type of guy. We're not executing people, by the way. But you know, it's just, you know, you're the one that comes up with the creative ideas, the big ideas, you know what I mean? And that's why CEO is what it is today. I mean, because 8 years ago, who would have said, let's put a wrestling ring inside of a hotel ballroom? Like nobody else would have thought of that. I mean, you're the ideas guy. You come up with the ideas. I just try to make sure to save you some time and make it happen, you know?
Like this year, I got 4 hours of sleep a night, which is a record. Thank you. But yeah, so leading up to it, right? Like with COVID, obviously, a lot of precautions to take. We did the whole vaccination or negative test. And from what we know, we are Angel and his team and everybody, like we turned away some people and they instantly went to Walgreens next door and got tests and took them on the spot and make sure they could still attend CO, which was pretty cool to think about. But majority were vaccinated and all that. Leading up to it, what were the biggest stress points you think for any CEO, any TNS? What do you worry about the most going wrong besides with COVID, people not showing up last second? Like that was my biggest fear was, so this year, if it's not for the sponsors and then first and foremost, the attendees, the event does not succeed. The sponsors give me enough budget whatever I can raise to take care of that, you know, $60,000, $70,000 production that we have with the ring and the lights and the audio and all that. The venue rental, all that stuff. So all that goes right into that. everything else comes in that goes towards the extra stuff, like the championship belts from attendees, paying the staff. And we paid pretty much what everyone this year, whether you ran a bracket. Yeah. And the
bags,
Yeah. I spent $40,000 on those welcome kits for the record. You guys are welcome for what was good idea on paper and people actually appreciate it. But then after the event was done, was like, why did we do that and spend all that money? But I think we're the only event to do that shit, dude. Name another event that's giving out free masks like to every single attendee. Name somebody gave sanitized custom wipes that were actually pretty good. I think they're better than those dude wipes. They were pretty
and the custom masks, too.
Yeah, custom masks. The masks weren't printing. All that. I'll be the first to admit it. But you know, so leading up to it, right, was making sure. And then what I was going to say was we had six different streams this year. 2019, we had 11 streams. And besides Combo Breaker and Evo, that's pretty much the most there's ever been at one event. And most of those were supported by the developers. We didn't have a single developer. So me, I'm looking at my wallet like, shit, I got to pay every commentator and streamer this year, which was kind of rough. But everyone worked within our means. Everyone was very happy. And I always asked Tong, I'm like, when you send out that email, is everyone happy? And majority were. But if it's not for all that staff that comes through the event, and you know, when I gave that speech to announce the Arxis stuff, I didn't really say thank you for, you know, coming to this event, because we still had a lot of cancellations. You know, and CO launched in June 6th. I won't forget that day because that's the very first CO that ever happened. 3,000 people bought tickets within the first 20 hours. It was record breaking. It was insane. And then when Delta hit in August, like 1,000 people backed out instantly. And then luckily, it literally always ended up at the perfect amount somehow. I never got greedy. I just would raise like 100 tickets at a time, then wait for more refunds and raise it. And what do you think if we had no cap, how many people would have tried to sign up?
Oh, I mean, if we did not have a cap and if we don't count the cancellations, I mean, I would say anywhere between 5,000 to 7,000. Like it could literally, it would be beyond the limits of the Wyndham Hotel.
Yeah. And that's what drives me is I've always been about the long haul, dude. CO didn't start profiting till like its fourth, fifth year. And, you know, I'm about the long haul of starting slow again, rebuilding, seeing what new games come out, all that stuff. So we got lucky, man, especially with Omicron now on the rise again. And, you know, throughout the 2 years of COVID, I've been vaccinated. I got my booster 2 weeks before CO just to be extra safe. And like for the last 2 years, how many times did we know somebody directly like I caught COVID? Not many. And now this Omicron just popping up out of everywhere. Right. So kind of waiting it out this next wave and just hoping that this, you know, sooner or later, it can't be like this forever. Because once things are back to real, real normal, whether it's next year or 5 years from now, our events are going to blow up, man. Because, you know, this year, 60% of attendees were first-time attendees. And that was pretty impressive, all things considered. So many people came, like, been watching CO all these years. I'm so glad I was able to make it. And they were so happy to be there. And, you know, I always do the recaps of, like, all the positive tweets I get. I actually couldn't find like more than one or two negative tweets about the event. How do you feel about how everything went on your end?
I mean, even with all things considered, I feel like everything went pretty smoothly. You know, as far as a bracket and a tournament standpoint, as far as registration, you know, overall tournament, you know, happy, you know, attendees and, you know, the happiness of everyone that was there. I mean, I feel like it was just a fantastic event all around, but I might be a little biased, you know. But, you know, I've been to a lot of events, obviously, and everything ran, you know, on time. You know, there wasn't much to complain about. And that's probably why you didn't find a lot of negative tweets. I always look for those as well. And yeah, today, I mean, this time was just overall a pleasant experience outside of that fire alarm. But even then, that didn't set us back at all.
Yeah, which is weird when you think about it.
We said, you know, everything was, you know, kind of prepared, you know, and planned for. The staff was ready. And it was like, hey, we're ready for emergencies like this. And we just sped things up in other areas and we made it work. So
pretty wild to think about. I don't know, Tom, what do you want to talk about?
Right. Can we talk about? No, I don't want to talk about your hairline on your own.
Oh, Jesus, man. Come on.
You know, honestly, one thing that you did mention earlier that you didn't really start profiting until the fourth or fifth year, it's really true. A lot of people may not believe it because obviously right in the first or second or in the second year, you were already a big event, right? But, you know, you were definitely for somebody that had such a major event that could, you know, that was bringing in, you know, substantial revenue, you were living well below your means. Like everybody sees you now, of course, you know, short-term memory. They see you now, you got the new car, you got the...
I almost died for that car.
Yeah, you got the statues, you know, you're doing well for yourself now, but, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I remember you were definitely, you know,
the struggle was real, guys. Yeah, that's why I've worked all these other companies. DreamHack saved me through, you know, and I brought you on to do DreamHack as well. And it's not favoritism. It's time to get shit done. And that's what I like to work with is people. My favorite kind of people in the history of what I do is A, ones that come to ideas. Here's an example. The Christmas cards we did. It was one of the juicy kids. He's like, hey, I have an artist. He would love to do a poster of like you and Tifa as a Christmas idea or a poster for the event. And I like, at first I'm like, oh God, not another person looking for a commission. I was like, you know what? How do we make this better? And then it hit me. Why don't we do Christmas cards? Cause it's in December. And that worked out. Everyone was happy. Nobody thought, oh Jesus, Jabali's on everything. But no, it worked out. Had a nice message. I want to thank everybody. A lot of people saved those cards, which is a really cool thing. But yeah, I mean, it was never really a struggle. I enjoyed it, but it's not at a comfortable level. I'm still single. I am dating someone, but you know, I don't have a family to provide for, but myself and my dog and, you know, and my travels, which has been very minimal in the last 2 years. So I've been finally able to save money. I've stopped buying so many statues. I'm actually trying to get rid of some and redo my office.
He's lying.
I know. Yeah. It's good. When I get more room and to get rid of the old stuff, I'll just fill it with new stuff. No. But it wasn't a struggle. It was just hard, but I was working freelance so many other jobs. It's not just CEO. Now for me, would the dream be work CEO once a year or CEO Taku and maybe another event? Of course. And that way I can put full focus. And I've had people like, you know, all this time you put into these other companies to build them up, why aren't you just doing more for CEO? And I don't think like that. I just like getting my name out there, and working for other companies allows me to have more opportunities for Tong and all the staff that run my events and, you know, everyone over the years. But you know, let's talk about like the gameplay of the event itself. You were focused on Marvel. I don't know how I ended up in the room to take the video of the Kim and Craig, the older couple that are now doing an event. So I walked the floor the whole week and make sure everyone's good. I check the staff, every stage caster. I just like to check on people. If they need any, I'll run, get someone water. I'll get them Starbucks. Not really. I'll send someone else to get them the Starbucks and then give it to me so that way I can give it to them, make them think I got the Starbucks. but like, how was that moment for you? Like, when did it hit you that this is amazing?
Oh, as far as Kim,
them playing on the stream and Bam Bam, Ram Bam,
Ram Bam,
Ram Bam. Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, at first I was like, oh, I was kind of confused on what was going on. So one of the guys came up to me and said, hey, can we put this match on stream? We got an older person playing Marvel. It's an older lady. I was like, yeah, let's put that on stream. It's just pools, you know, like let's do it. So, and I'm watching them play and I'm like, wait, this is not what I expected at all. Like, she is definitely an older lady. And I was like, wow, you know. And after she was done playing, I went to talk to her and, you know, just thanked her for, you know, coming to CEO and, you know, thanked her for entering Marvel. And I took a picture with her and, you know, she was there with her husband and they were both signed up for the tournament. And I'm not going to lie, I had to walk away for a little bit because I got a little teary eyed thinking about like, man, I hope that's what I'm like when I'm older. You know what I mean? I want to be a nice, cool person that gets to, you know, go to video game events and enter tournaments and stuff like that when I'm older. Hopefully I'm not still having to run them, but, you know, but yeah, I just, man, it really got me teary-eyed thinking about how great our community is, you know, not just Marvel, but the FGC as a whole. You know, it's just fantastic. Honestly, it does definitely get me emotional. And that's how, that's how I know that I really do love what I do, because it's just, you know, it really does. It's one of the few things that really pull emotion out of me is this community. So,
yeah, I know. What are emotions and feelings when you have to run events and read everything on Twitter every day? but, you know, the same thing for me. Like, I posted the video of them and I was the one kind of egging the crowd to boo them. Here's a little secret. They were booing at the start. Then when I won, like raising my hand, like, come on. And but that video, dude, 400,000 views.
Dang.
Like, it blew up, made national news.
Yeah.
And the beauty of them was they were coming to kind of scout the event, but they never reached out to me before the event. They came as attendees to just see how it was. And I've been helping them. I have to respond better to their emails. I've just been kind of trying to take this week off. But Tom's like, let's get to work on next year. I'm like, you know, I'm the first one ready to work, but man, after this year, dude, let me get a break. So I can reorganize my house, spend time with the dog and my personal life. But, you know, it was amazing because then they were just so happy. Then you posted a picture that anything that was involving them just blew up.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, end of the day, you'll see all the negativity about our events, or not the events, the community, you know, from one person blowing something up or whatever. But you go to an event, man, everyone walks away happy and they were so happy, which makes me happy. And again, just coincidental timing of me being there, putting focus on them with the video I posted. And then, you know, them reaching out, asking for advice, because they're actually doing an event in February. And the beauty of them, and this is something I've mentioned before, when people come up to me for advice, like, Jabali, I want to run a good event, what do you suggest? When they go, hey, we've never done this before, but we want our first event to bring 20,000 people. Any ideas? I'm like, no, none at all, because it's impossible. You got to start small. And when they're like, yeah, we have this big venue, but we're hoping for 300. I'm like, whatever question you have, I will answer for free, basically, because they had realistic expectations and everything. So I think they're great, great people. And it's so cool because any interaction, they're just young kids, man. They're just, you know, intelligent, super smart. They have like big degree. I forgot what their personal jobs were, but they have family of kids that play games. And my tweet, I look back and I regret, because I think the tweet would have, it worked out either way. But I just tweeted like somebody's grandmother showed up, when the tweet should have just been like, look at this Marvel player literally came out of retirement to enter CEO. You know, that just would have been funny. And that's the thing. They loved everything we were saying about him, which was great. But that was a great moment. K7 show off, the guy who won Guilty Gear. My God. And he reminded me, he sent me an email in June when he registered day one. He goes, hey, this is going to be my first major. I'm so excited to go to your event. I've been looking forward to this, yada, yada. And then I'm just like, of course, thank you. Have a great time. Then he wins the tournament. And then I email Match. I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about interviewing the champions from CEO on my podcast. He's like, bro, do you remember when I sent you that message, how excited I was? And then for me to win it, it was icing on the cake. I'm like, no, one of the greatest champions or winners that was so positive. And he came out so great in those recap videos. But shout out to you, K7, if you hear this podcast. You are an incredible person and so happy. He came from the NRS Mortal Kombat community. But that's exciting about Guilty Gear is when it brings in players from other games. And that's the beauty of Guilty Gear, right?
Guilty Gear is actually the first game to really do it on this scale where it brought players from every community. You got Street Fighter players, you've got Marvel players, you've got Mortal Kombat players. You've even got, you know, people that play 3D games that are getting into this Guilty Gear. And I think it's a lot of it has to do with, of course, the game is good and the netcode is great. But also, you know, in the time that we're in, you know, we're obviously, you know, people are having to play from home a little bit more often. You know, I think this was the perfect game to come out. It was like a perfect storm for like the entire community, you know, people that are kind of interacting with each other that never did because they played completely different games.
Yeah. And it, you know, and Leffen is really good at Guilty Gear. He stayed in Sweden. But it's just really exciting for me because doing CEO Otaku, the purpose was having that gut feeling that anime games were finally getting their shine and they're growing. 5 years later, COVID slowed things down, but I think CEO Otaku is going to be the biggest event of the year next year. I just have this secret feeling it could be as big as CEO. But Guilty Gear and Arxis being there, especially, right? Like Arxis being there, for anyone who cares about the nitty gritty details, they were always going to be the final game on Sunday because it had the biggest turnout next to Smash. But for scheduling logistics, we kept Smash in its own room this year because A, I knew all the top players would back out last second per usual. And so, no, I'm just kidding. But like we put it in another room so they could take their sweet time, have a full stream all weekend. Because if we put them in the main room, we got to change the schedule up. We got to rush other games. So I think it worked out.
Yeah. The biggest thing about Smash is that the choice came down to we either make top 8 3 out of 5 or we have to play best of 1 first hit wins.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. To get it. So that's another thing we try to. Back in the day, dude, we were doing 5 finals in the ring on Sunday. That doesn't work anymore. These games take up to 3.5 hours. And by God, somehow we finished 3 minutes overtime this year at 10 p.m. How excited was I? And I like said to the crowd, and they all cheer. I was like, are you guys impressed we finished on time? Because we've finished at 1 a.m. before. Yeah. Just because it's tough, man. Games can go long, 3 out of 5s. But the games we chose, Street Fighter Tekken, Marvel. We started off Marvel because people don't usually like to be the 10 a.m. slot. But I thought Marvel would be hype, and we had a good crowd for 10 a.m. Marvel.
For 10 a.m. Man, yeah. Us being on time, that was amazing.
You waking up that early, yeah. Very amazing. So if you guys don't know, and we'll take a break after this little joke, but I wake up 5, 6 a.m. to go to the gym. I've taken time off since the car accident, but I'm back in it this week. Been going 5, 6 because I naturally go to bed now like 10 or 11. I can stay up late, but it ruins my next day. Tong stays up till 8 in the morning. So when I'm waking up, he's going to bed like, hey, I got all this done. Can you check it out? I'm like, sure. And then he goes to bed. And then like 11 a.m., I'm on an actual meeting with normal hours with like the hotel. And they ask a question that I gave to Tong. And I got to wait 3 hours for Tong to wake his ass up. All worth it, buddy. We worked with each other's schedule. But then Tong, for like the month leading up to CEO, will purposely change his sleep schedule so he can make sure he's up on time and stuff like that. But Man, high five, buddy. I'm a
professional. Also, if any companies are listening, Alex Jabaley does not consult for free. Please let us know.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with part two of this podcast. And we're back. Hey, guys, this is Alex Jabaley again. We'll just get right back into it. What were we talking about? I forgot 2 minutes ago.
We were talking about CEO.
Oh, I do not consult for free. Thank you for reminding me. This part, we'll kind of talk more about the gaming side of things. But overall, you know, what do you think is the easiest thing about putting an event together? And what's the hardest thing about putting it together?
Oh, man, that's I think the hardest thing is when you're dealing with an event this size, trying to coordinate the schedule and the layout and the staff all together. It's one of those things that that I've recently taken over, you know, doing all of those. It used to be delegated to individual people, but because I feel like it's very important that they have synergy together. You know what I mean? If one person does the scheduling and another person does the floor plan and another person does the hiring, you know, there could be a lot of, you know, I guess, miscommunication, a lot of issues, a lot of conflicts, but it's one of those things where if you do it all together at once, then, you know, it synergizes a lot better. But of course, that's a lot of work at the same time. So that one is pretty tough. I'd say the easiest part, there are no easy parts to this. Showing up.
Cashing your check? No.
Yeah. Another hard part is hiring TOs. It's not because they're hard to find. It's because there are so many good TOs. I get asked by TOs all the time if I'd be willing to hire them for a CEO event and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like, I can't tell everybody yes, you know, otherwise we'd have more TOs than attendees after a while. But, you know, that's the thing. There's so many great TOs out there that are working hard, you know, that are putting in the hours, but we can't pick every single person. So that's another tough part. Same thing with commentators. There's so many great commentators out there, but you can't say yes to everybody, you know. You know, what are we going to have everybody commentate one game and then swap them out? So obviously that's another tough part as well. Telling people no is pretty rough, but you know, like I said, you know, it's part of the job. It's part of the job.
Yeah. And I mean, this year was, I don't want to say it was harder than ever because of COVID. I mean, when it's like just adding an extra set of rules to be safe. And, you know, for transparency, like, I paid attention to anyone who posted they caught positive COVID. Like, I literally looked up CEO COVID positive, you know, all that stuff on Twitter. And I reached out, and we only had 6 public cases of people saying I caught COVID. And to me, like, I want 0 cases, but that's like record breaking for the state of Florida. And to be one of the, you know, the events that really, and I learned a lot from Riptide and PG's Josh about writing the rules out for vaccinations, because that's something we've never had to do before until, and you know, when I did Dreamland, it was just like, you know, please, why? I had never seen so many people washing their hands constantly than at CEO Dreamland, like more so than anything in history. And you know, nobody got sick from that weekend. We got lucky. And then this year, you know, just only see 6, and a lot of them just had symptoms and were, you know, sick a few days. And then I stayed in touch for like 2 weeks. And then as soon as that event was over, like, that's when I really felt, okay, this event was successful. Nobody was really in trouble from that. And everyone had a good time. Everyone got home safely. All the internationals came out and had a good time.
Especially compared to other events that didn't have, you know, vaccine requirements after CEO.
Yeah. And especially in the state of Florida, you don't have to require it. It's actually up to the venue. And that was the first question I asked when me and Tong, literally, 2 weeks after CEO, we went to Daytona to tour the venue again just to say hi to everybody. And that's my greatest success story, is the networking I do has created relationships. And that's another thing. When you work with venues, like, I don't think I ever know of anybody. I've never had a problem where you, like, you have someone that's in charge of a venue and you just hate them. You're like, I don't want to come to this venue because that guy sucks. That's never happened. Like, everyone's just generally good people, and they make sure that what you need gets done. That's the service industry in terms of live events and using venues and stuff. But we went to Daytona, and the first question was, can I require vaccinations? This is a city venue. Like, no, your rules, your event. So we're going to look into that. I want to come to a point where we don't have to require everything and everything's back to normal, and, you know, everyone can attend without stressing that out. Because yeah, some events had, you know, requirements for masks, nothing else. And then once people leave those doors, we're guilty of it. We take our masks off outdoors, you know, when we're talking with our friends, but when you're in the venue, you're doing your best to protect. That's all you can really do. And I think we came out with success overall. And then fortunately the timing, right? It's all about the timing too. We were right before this next Omicron wave. I kept calling it Omicron. It's Omicron. But, you know, I don't want to keep talking about that because that's something that's still going to be on our minds. And a lot of events are in January, like, wondering, shit, what's going to happen? But so going back to, like, leading up, let's talk about fun stuff, and then I'll do some of the questions. But like Korea, let's talk about our Korea trip, right? Tong, like me, loves to show people a good time. That's the beauty of being a host, is you naturally just want anyone that's in your circle to enjoy themselves. We always look out. So I went to Korea. Tong was just ready to go anywhere we wanted to go. He had a lot of good plans for us. He taught us that Ubers are overpriced compared to taxis over there, and everybody drives a Kia.
Korean brand.
Yeah. What was your favorite part about taking someone like me to Korea that's been to Japan, been to other places, but like, is it easier when you have someone that knows how to travel and blend in other countries other than my massive height and size compared to most Asian countries I've gone to?
Yeah, you definitely stood out for, you know, being the only person 6 foot tall or more. Yeah. I think you're like 6'2 or 6'3, but
6'2 and a quarter, but who's counting?
Yeah. But yeah, definitely it is easier to take people who have traveled before. But honestly, the whole thing was fun just because, you know, obviously we're very good friends already. So, you know, it's just like,
We didn't work at all. We didn't have to do anything.
We didn't do anything. We talked about doing work, but that was the closest we got to it.
Yeah.
And that was back in the good days, though, before we had to work like crazy, right? But it was just it was a fun time because, you know, we get along and both of us are the kind of people who are just like, yeah, I'm down for that. Honestly, I don't care about this particular activity, but I'll still do it because, you know, we like to have a good time.
And like crane games everywhere.
Yeah, you definitely killed it on the crane game.
real quick, before I talk more about that, I want to mention back to like scheduling and all that. For years, just so you guys know, Rick, Combo Breakers Rick, who's now Evo General Manager, which is amazing. Me and Rick, we were friends before me and Tong really started working together. And Rick used to do all that. And then naturally, he just got so busy. So another success point in my career of what I do is learning to finally like move to someone else that can also handle stuff, to trust other people. Rick, it's a loyalty thing with me. I've worked with Rick and I've always relied on him for banners, merchandise, all that. Just too busy. The guy's got so much going on in his life and you need to be respectful of other people's lives and stuff. And this is at a point in my life where Tong wants to do more CEO work than I do to keep it growing and stuff. But Rick was doing that for years. And then you and I were just like, we got to, you know, pretty much get everything ready and have his input and stuff. But moving forward, it's exciting because when I first met Rick, we always looked at each other like, we're going to put on the best damn events in the FGC and grow. And to see
and
he's doing Evo, he's doing Combo Breaker, I'm doing CEO, I'm doing DreamHack. Like, we've got the Minano. We're here to help everyone. We always have. Anyone who needs the help, we'll always be happy to help. But, you know, looking back over the years to now finally have someone that's closer to me, nearby, we can see each other, even though you have to suffer I-4 traffic to get here. Let me come to you, dude. My car will drive me there.
I like leaving the house.
I know. I like staying in the house now, to be honest with you, with my dog and everything. So over the years, just learning to delegate and trust other people, because a lot of people just need that opportunity to show you how good they are. And Tong's one of the best, man.
I'm not going to lie, though. It was not an easy process. I remember the first year, it was, hey, I can do this. And you were just, you were so adamant about holding on to the responsibilities. Because obviously, I don't blame you. You know, I tell people all the time, I don't blame the way things were when we first started, because I wouldn't just trust anybody with my baby either. You know what I mean? And CEO is basically, you know, I mean, it's more important than your baby, because you don't know of any babies you might have.
Yeah.
But you know, like it's your life's work. It's your life passion. And of course you wouldn't just want to trust it with anybody. So I had to prove myself one step at a time and just, you know, slowly take one thing away. You know, and now, you know, of course, like you said, with this year, you know, Rick normally does the floor planning and the scheduling and stuff. And, Rick has been one of my role models, you know, in this, along with you, you know, since I started in the FGC. I saw you guys, you know, I went to UFGT. I went to the first Combo Breaker. Obviously, I went to all the CEOs. So it's like seeing you guys work, that was like my example for events. Like, this is what I want an event to be like. And even with the scheduling and the floor planning, a lot of that, I studied Rick's old schedules that he had made in the past and Rick's old floor plans. And I was like, okay, this is really good stuff. I need to figure out how to make this work for this year. So it's definitely one of those things where, like, Rick has obviously had a huge influence, and, you know, big congratulations to him for all that he's had. But it is kind of crazy. You know, 6 or 7 years ago, you and Rick were just kind of like, you know, Rick, you know, did Combo Breaker. I think the first one was 2015. Obviously, he was helping out with, you know, other events before then. And then, of course, you know, CEO really started blowing up, you know, a couple of years before then as well. But who would have guessed you guys would have basically be the most, you know, like forward leading people in the industry now in 2021, going into 2022. Like you said, Rick being the GM of Evo and, you know, running Combo Breaker, one of the top three biggest fighting game events in the world, along with you running DreamHack and also CEO, one of the top three biggest fighting games in the world. So between you guys have the biggest fighting game events, you know, that, you know, you guys are running. So
like, yay, go us. I mean, I never thought I would be doing this full time until DreamHack made the call. I was at Iron Galaxy community manager, and I like that stability money. I like that stable income check and the benefits and all that I don't want to pay myself health benefits because our system sucks. but that's a whole nother story there. But yeah, so, you know, it is a good feeling. Obviously, we're not done yet, though. I had so many goals on a bucket list for CEO, you know, a European one I've mentioned before. A cruise one, but who knows how that's going to go now with everything still. But you know, so I'm just glad we got to this point. Now I can bring the good people along with me to keep building. And because FGC is not going anywhere, it never will. I'm just excited for the next generation of the big game, Street Fighter and all that. But for now, anime is killing it, man. Dungeon Fighter Duel, I had so much fun with that game. They had a beta out. KOF is killing it with online, and that's how important rollback is now. And you're one of the first pioneers of running events on Parsec. Jason Game Dev, who somehow made top 8 at CEO.
Second place.
I'm sorry. That's still top 8. It counts. just like I made top 500 in Smash. and still took pictures with people that went 0-2, including myself. Anyways, DNF Duel, all that. Guilty Gear still growing. I know you're my friend. How did you feel when I got to announce that, like, the Arc System stuff and the crowd just went hype? Like, that was just a perfect ending to CEO this year with the rollback netcode coming out, you know, you dealing with Parsec and just seeing how good rollback has done for the community. And then, like, me getting to talk and announce, and your introduction was great. You know, the CEO. I'm surprised your voice was still in better shape than mine was. How did that feel for you being a part of that?
Honestly, it felt amazing. I think that was the moment where I realized, like, damn, this is what I missed when you came up to the mic and the crowd was cheering for the announcement. And I was like, damn, this is what separates the offline from the online events, you know. And this, you know, obviously the crowd had been hyped throughout the day for top 8s, but that was the biggest pop we had all day. And I was like, dang, it must be what a professional wrestler feels when he comes back after a long injury, right? Yep. You know,
and they always say they worry. Are people going to remember them? Are they going to cheer? And they always remember them.
Yeah, and that's what I felt the most. It was a very emotional moment because I was like, damn, people are really happy to be here. You know, we're all sharing this moment. It's already 10:00. The matches are over. They could have just walked out, but no, like, everybody wanted to cling on for just one more minute. Yeah. Squeeze out every last bit of CEO they could get before they had to go home. And that was a great moment.
Yeah, I wish I said more too to ask the crowd who's the first, but it all worked out perfectly. But yeah, exactly right. Like, people, I had to tease people. Like, everything that was said, I had to run by Arxis, like my introduction and all that, about, you know, mentioning the word roll that trailer, like little things like that they were okay with, because that built that anticipation. If you really watch the crowd, like, the oh god, I know what this is, you know. And that was perfect. That made everything so much better. But just to do that, I was more stressed about that and flubbing it and introducing Arc System Works than anything else the whole weekend. Like, that's why I kept chugging honey. People are like, why are you putting honey in your throat? For people that don't know,
about the throat coat?
Yeah, the throat coat and all that. Yeah. My friend Kim brought me some throat coat. It's a tea. I was trying to conserve my voice for what I had, like, because I ran out by Friday because I was so excited seeing everyone again, talking to everybody, and then talking through masks. You got to talk a little louder. But just to have that happen was just such a great feeling to see how happy people were. And I showed, like, my brother. He's like, what the fuck? Just like, why are they so happy over a video? I'm like, shut up, Omar. But it just all worked out. So that event's over with. Looking back, I couldn't have been happier with how the year ended up. I'm glad we survived it. We got through it. Had to cancel CEO. Excuse me. I turned CEO Taku into the CEO. So that's why things are a little different at the hotel. And on my end, on the financial end, this December was built for a smaller event. So I didn't have a lot of the usual amenities I would with, like, food and beverage or all that stuff. Because we didn't think it was going to instant sell out, right? COVID was still going on. But when that instant sell out, like, all through all, I still gave a lot of refunds out. At one point, we had 4,900 unique people had registered for this event. And it would have been more, not just because of the cap. I never announced publicly, like, when more space is open, except through a Discord. I never, like, made a tweet. Like, people are like, what's your marketing budget? I'm like, one tweet on my personal account that I spent 10 years building, you know. And that's another thing, right? Like, Tong, he's the gears that keeps things running. I'm the face that, you know, runs everything. But I do that purposely so that if there's anything that goes wrong, I can take the blame and fix it. And now Tong kind of takes the blame from staff and stuff, and people mentioned like, hey, I have this issue. I'm like, just here's Tong's, you know, email, just go write him. But it helps me, guys, because I still have to work 24/7 getting these events together, writing out invoices, writing out.
You can't sell yourself short, because you're the thing that keeps us in business.
So yeah.
You got to make sure.
You know, I never told anybody, and I wanted to, like, I don't like to bring up my crash. You know, I survived it. I'm okay. Another lease on life and everything. My dog was okay, but I wanted to be in that ring. I'm like, guys, you know, I just want to say that day when I got into that near life-ending crash, all I could think about is, I can't die. Who's going to give all those people refunds? You know, and I know the crowd would have went nuts, but I didn't say. I'm like, you know, let's not just keep bringing that up, right? Because enough people came up to me. Hey, how are you after the crash? And here's the thing, man. This year, besides my shoulder, I still can't lift heavy overhead because there's a tear in my rotator cuff still that I could get a surgery, but then that'll really ruin me for life. So I'd rather just work around it and build the muscle around it, because I'm not a quitter for the most part, even though I've gotten a little chubby. I was doing so good until that crash. Anyways, but, you know, I felt better than ever walking that event, man, physically. And you might remember the earlier years when I was killing myself, running everything, not delegating. You would see me sleeping in the rows during the daytime and stuff. Now I'm like wide awake, ready to go. But just having so many first timers, especially, I think I got asked for like 600 pictures this year. Not that I'm counting, but it was a lot.
He's counting.
Yeah. He's got it. And I love that. You guys don't understand. It really makes me happy to just know I have that kind of positive impact on people, or somebody came all the way from Texas to have a good time, or, you know, over so a book came from Thailand, right? Yeah. From Thailand, Tekken player, just have them go, thank you so much. I'm like, no, thank you, man. You spent your hard earned money after these last 2 years to come out to this event. It means the world to me. But every time I'd be like with a staff member, like checking in, somebody go, Jabali, can I get a picture? I would just look at my staff member. They would roll their eyes like, Jesus Christ, man. You know, what is this shit? So, and then that person walks away and then like, hey, can I get a picture? No. But
I think that's one thing that might be lost on a lot of people that that see you from a distance is obviously you're a popular guy. People like you. People want to take pictures with you and stuff like that. But I don't think people realize how much of a positive impact that has on you and how you remember and you see every single person who says something nice about you, who tweets something nice about CEO. You're like Santa Claus, you know what I mean? But like, you know,
and I have a naughty list.
Yeah, he does actually. But you know, and every person that takes a picture with you and people that say positive things about you, people would assume, you know, that other people say this kind of stuff all the time. So they may just not, you know, go out there and say anything.
Or my peers never want to give me any credit because it'll blow up my ego. Yeah. Give me credit, man. I respect yours just as much.
Yeah. But you know, that's the thing. It does have a positive impact. So, you know, make sure you guys let them know. You know, tweet us
pictures. You can leave a tip. I'll give you my Venmo. Anyways,
tell him he looks like he lost weight, guys.
Yeah. A lot of people said that. They're like, you're looking great. I'm like, thank you. I'm almost 40. No, I'm ready for my best years ahead, to be honest with you. Like, it's not over until really you have a family and kids. Then it's over because all your freedom's gone. But until then, I'm going to enjoy myself and have fun running gaming events. But so let's kind of answer some questions and we'll end it with what's next for us. So we'll go on my Twitter, ask some people. Tong's not very popular like me, so I only got a couple questions. What does Tong from Kent? We know Kent. He's run panels for us before. He does great music events in the gaming world. What does Tong have to say about the photos on social of him, in fact, sleeping?
Right. That's not sleep. It's naps. Yeah. Napping and sleeping are two different activities, okay?
Yeah, dumb answer. Also, what's Tong's favorite fighting game from the 90s?
From the 90s? It's definitely... it's probably a tie between Street Fighter 2 Turbo and Tekken 3. So those two are the games I played the most. Also, I played a ton of Bushido Blade, but it's not really competitive. Oh, I
love that game. Those one-hit kills, man.
Hell yeah.
I have it on my illegal setup over there. Very cool. Okay, so that's a couple from Kent. Then we've got Joe Bronx. We remember Joe, big Marvel fanatic. Joe, hope you're well. Don't reply back. I can't hear you. Ask him, when's the next in-person TNS tournament?
You know, honestly, we were trying to have one in March, but I think, you know, by the time we were about to launch registration, Omicron was blowing up, felt like it was a bad time. So we're going to wait a little bit and, you know, we might do some smaller events throughout the country. We might go to Texas or New Jersey and do a TNS event out there just for Marvel or maybe Guilty Gear as well. So it might be a little bit, though.
Well, here's a little secret. We almost did an event in September. Tong's like, are you going to sign the deal? I'm like, let me wait a week. And then Delta hit. I'm like, no deal, sir. We're taking a break. And that was the best decision I made all year.
Oh, yeah. I was like, damn, you're right. Good call.
Yeah. But the thing is, I don't want to run these other events anymore because they're going to cost me just as much as the big CEO. Like, people see a bare minimum standard. And it's rough for me to do that, you know, sign a big hotel contract, worry about the financials. Like, I would love to go back to the local days, but until, you know, we got the Juicy Kids doing stuff here in Orlando. I do globals now. I don't do locals anymore. That's my joke.
Hollywood, huh?
Yeah. No, I'm helping out other communities. I've done enough for Florida for over a decade. Anyways, how long did it take to get the Gamma Charge corner combo extensions?
Oh, man. Honestly, it just clicked for me one day. I don't know. I don't even know why it happened. I think I did it once randomly in tournament, and it just happened. I just watched KBR do it. So I was like, yeah, I'll do it too. Why not? But yeah, it didn't take that long. I just never tried it.
And another dedicated Marvel question for anybody who plays Marvel. Has he practiced drones at all, or is he set on Sentinel's rocket punch assist?
I'm good with rocket punch, man. I'm a simple guy. I don't need anything complicated in my life.
Oh, all right. And then here's a good one. This is Caseman, actually. We've been playing a lot of Halo, and this guy has such a radio DJ voice. He's actually offered an intro for me, so I'll reach out. But I'm curious. This is a great question, actually. I'm curious if you have professional consultants that help decide on health and safety practices, since that's such a focus now. Yeah, actually, I did consult. His name was Alex Jabaley in Google. So that was, was just watching what other events do. I actually look at Anime Expo, New York Comic Con, San Diego. I look at everyone else's events and kind of create them into my own wording and stuff. But for the most part, I'm trying to think. MagFest has probably one of the best, and that's coming up actually, one of the best like details of COVID precautions and all that, and like the rules and where to go get a vaccination. Like, they did their research. I try to do as much as I can as one person. But for the most part, it's just, I look at other events. I'm friends with a lot of people that run other events. DreamHack, we talked about a lot of stuff in our regular meetings on, you know, vaccination requirements and all that. So no professionals. One thing on the security end, and Tong might not know this, I've done the Pokemon Worlds events, and they hire one of the greatest like third party security teams that does like drills with a red ball. If they throw you the ball while you're just working, they go, all right, drill. What if this person goes into the bathroom and comes out with this on his hands, or, you know, like blood or like anything, little things like that. And just that taught me so much to think about the security. And this year we spent $13,000 on the security office. We had walking around, checking badges. And I always joke, like, for years, I would go, hey, do you want to watch the door for 2 hours? Here's $20. That doesn't work out. Now it's like, I'm going to get Agnes, who doesn't give a shit who you are if you don't have a badge on, and they check. So that helped. But in terms of consulting, no professional consulting. It was just me doing my research. I read everything. I pay attention to everything. And then I kind of write onto a Google Doc other ideas and then just turn them into my own. And then Alicia, shout out to Alicia, who handles the website updates. We're actually looking into a new theme. So if anybody's good with WordPress themes, let me know. We might do something custom because now I have a little bit of money to spend.
That's like you were saying earlier, though. It's one of those things where we definitely watch other events. Obviously, there are, you know, CEO is the best event, but outside of CEO, there are other amazing events, and, you know, they do a great job with their policies as well. And we like to see what works, what doesn't work, and try to take the best parts and, you know, incorporate it into what we do. You know, obviously, you know, we're not so stubborn. Oh, they're doing this, so we're not going to do that. I'm like, come on now. We're obviously, you know, going to try to do the best event that we can. And of course, sometimes we take ideas from other events when it comes to things like security or COVID policies and stuff like that. So, you know, obviously, you know, and it goes beyond that as well. We won't say what, but, you know, it's just, you know, obviously we're going to do the best we can. So, I mean, I'm sure other events also, you know, they're professional as well. So, you know, we have some friends who are professionals in the medical industry. So
I do.
Yeah. So,
Kaylee, thank you. She's actually a toxicologist scientist that tests for COVID. So she kind of gives me the straight up, like, this is how bad things are getting, or this is how calm things are now. So I pay attention to that as well. So I knew that week of CEO would be a lot less to stress about. But, you know, for the most part, you know, just practice makes perfect, guys. But the one thing I don't prepare for mentally is the fire alarm. I never mentioned that in a staff meeting, right? Like, we know now that's going to be on my mind. I'm like, well, and we went to Daytona. Like, so could you pinpoint where all your fire alarms are? I'd like to put GoPros above all of them.
Yeah.
That was one of the first questions I asked when I went there. Cause I literally, the moment we're done an event, I look at what went wrong and I fix it the next year. That's one thing I pride myself on, is taking real feedback and making it better the next year. And we do almost every year. We've always bounced back stronger. And, you know, this event for me personally, I'm just going to brag, could not have gone any better the way it did for a 2-year hiatus. Like, I was worried we would lose it or we would forget how to run an event. You were so prepared. You had all the right people in place. Everyone was happy to be working the event. Everyone was so happy to represent SEAO, and that's why I'm so proud of everyone that was a part of it. So when my wallet gets a little lighter, I just think you guys made the event look good. And all those tweets about positivity are because I paid you off. So thank you for making it special. So yeah, but that's all the questions Tong had, because Tong streams pretty much every day and you can ask him anytime on twitch.tv/TampaNeverSleeps. Let's talk about that for a couple minutes, right? It's not been a struggle, but you have actually inspired me to be more consistent. I always say I'm going to do more YouTube and then just things get busy for me. But how proud are you of the growth, even though it does cost you money and you keep putting money back in to grow it better? But how wild is it for your YouTube to be taking off the way it has, your Twitch stream to be successful and consistent? Like, how proud do you feel of that? And like, what drove you to do what you're doing now?
Yeah, honestly, I feel great about it. Obviously, you know, just as COVID started, we were all kind of in the situation. We're just sitting around at home, and I just wanted to play Marvel with my friends. I was like, well, how can I do that without having to see somebody? And of course, Marvel, you know, the original netcode is pretty terrible. So, you know, once we discovered Parsec and, you know, and other, you know, technology, shout out to Jason Game Dev, you know, we were like, oh, let's start streaming. Ah, we'll get like 10 people to watch or whatever, you know, we'll just be our friends. And, you know, just kind of grew organically from that. And now we have, you know, tons of viewership, and, you know, we actually make money from, you know, doing the Twitch and the YouTube and things like that. So it feels great. And I think I just kept doing it just to see if we could keep going. Honestly, like, you know, I never fully expected to, you know, make a living off of it or anything like that. And I still don't, but it's one of those things where I just want to see where it can go, because a lot of my friends are involved in it as well. And I want to, you know, give them, you know, something to work towards, you know, something to work on together. You know, it kind of keeps us all together. And of course, for the, you know, for the future of Marvel. So, I mean, we're really, you know, at the forefront as far as Marvel versus Capcom 3. And we want to make sure that game is still a popular game years from now. And, you know, creating content for it on a regular basis, you know, all these new people that have signed up to play over the past year, that's what really gets me, is all the people that are like, I played Marvel for the first time because of you guys. Or I'm back in Marvel after 8 years because of you guys. And I'm just like, man, that's the best part of it all. So
good job.
Yeah.
Proud of you. I mean, yeah. So, and I've been streaming consistently, not as many viewers as you, but I'll get there. I'm entertaining, guys. Tune in to twitch.no. Anyways. So, all right. Well, a couple more minutes left, Tong. Thank you for coming over. And getting your paycheck for CEO, go spend some more money on camera gear.
Yeah. I hope you keep streaming and keep making YouTube videos, man. Cause honestly, you're a pretty good streamer. I think you just got to keep putting more content out there.
I know. It's tough. So I'm actually in the process of redoing my office that has just been cluttered. It looks good when it's clean, but just cluttered with so many collectibles that some don't mean anything to me anymore. And I'm slowly having like the juicy guys help me move shit. I'm like, you know what? You can buy the $5. That's something I paid $200 for or something. So I've been doing that. And
generous.
I try. It feels good, right? To kind of clean up now. Like, as you get older, and I do want to move into a bigger house, get a backyard for the dog. It's like, Alex, if you don't do this now, you're never going to do it. And now, kind of with the new year and everyone, you know, getting sick or just taking it easy for New Year's, I'm like, this is the time for me to kind of clean up. And I ordered a new desk, but now I got to figure out how to get this, you know, 15-year-old, 3,000-pound U-shaped desk that's just so ginormous for the room. So I'm excited for that. So I'm actually going to do a YouTube of the video of the before and after when that is done, and start making more content before things kind of pick up. And my goal is to record like whatever statues are still in boxes, record them all, edit them all, and then just have that be content for a couple months while trickling in other stuff that I get the time to do. But yeah, Tong, thank you for coming on. I mean, what's next for us? CEO next year officially.
Yeah.
You have some other events coming up you're going to be working. So
yeah.
Are they paying you to promote them?
No.
Then let's not talk about it. I might go to the one, you're going to one in California. He actually paid CEO.
Yeah.
Festival of Fights. Thank you so much. That was amazing sponsorship. Last second too. Tong finally got me some money and didn't take it out of me. but no, which is also helpful. You know, if you want to help your TOs, try to find them partnerships. Like, don't go cold calling companies, but if you have anybody that might be interested, just connect them. And like me, I give Tong like 10% of the, you know, whatever the revenue he brings in as like a bonus. And that drives people to kind of raise more. So, cause CEO has been charging too little for too long, and it's time. Like, I'm not trying to ask for exorbitant prices. I want fair prices, but we're getting to a point where I have to turn away vendors this year. And so supply and demand, but Tong, any last words?
No, thank you guys so much. This is 2.5 years we've been talking about doing this podcast, so finally did it together.
Yeah, maybe we might do another one in the future, but Tong, fist bump, thank you so much. Guys, another podcast, last one of this one. Please be safe over the New Year's Eve and have a wonderful 2022. Till next time.